Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Samantha.
And today we have Kat Schmoyer on from the Dear Sweetheart Events. Kat is a lover of pink and a believer of sweethearts. She is the creative director behind the Dear Sweetheart Events, where she specializes in playfully classic details. She loves working with her brides on the planning and design and trying it all together with gorgeous floral designs. She is also the co-founder of the Creative at Heart Conference, where their motto is simple: here's to the creative. Her and her high school sweetheart live in a really old house in a two-stoplight town with their Britain Spaniel Knox, and they wouldn't have it any other way. She's an educator, encourager, believer, and an iced chai drinker. She also loves consulting with small business owners and encouraging big dreams and practical steps to get there. When she's not doing any of that, you can find her reading sappy romance novels on her Kindle, buying all things pink at Target, or watching a really late night rerun of Friends. Welcome, Kat. We are so excited to have you on today.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yay. All right. So to get things started, we always like to ask our guests, what was your kickstart moment that led you to starting your businesses?
Yeah. So mine is kind of cliche. I planned my own wedding and loved it so much and decided that I wanted to take the leap and start my own business. I actually told Matt, my husband, about my dream to own my own business on the flight to our honeymoon. So literally right after our wedding, I said, hey, babe, guess what? Like, I know you just married me, but I want to start a business. So we got married the end of July, and my business birthday is October 1st. So coming up on 3 years. But planning my own wedding just really kind of kickstarted the fact that I loved wedding planning. I loved the logistics and the details that go into it, as well as like what it means and what marriage stands for and how to kind of accent all of that with a wedding.
Oh, I love that. That's like the best surprise to give to your husband is, hey, you're set for me now. I'm going to go run a business.
Yeah. Oh,
so that is awesome. And your husband obviously has been super supportive of you since the beginning. What made you then go from being a wedding planner to launching the Creative at Heart Conference?
Yeah. So I launched Creative almost a year into my business. So Creative launched actually 2 years ago in August. So last month. And I realized that there was a need for additional community and education in the wedding planning industry. I felt like wedding planning was a little cutthroat, and it was hard for people to find other women that they really could like share information in a safe space, you know, without feeling like someone's going to take my business ideas or, you know, someone's going to, you know, potentially take over all of my clients. Because there's a fear, and that's a normal and healthy fear for us to have with our business. But I wanted to create a safe space that wedding planners could go and talk about those things in a really real atmosphere. And I felt like in order to do that with planning, we needed something for all creatives. And I wanted planners to be able to learn from stationery designers and photographers and vice versa. I have learned a lot about being a business owner from two photographers who I'm really, really close with. I mean, photographers in general, but two that I specifically did mentoring with. And so I felt like there's also a need for people to see that you can learn from other business owners outside of your own industry, just in terms of business, not just wedding planning. So Creative kind of started with all of that in mind, and it's been really awesome. It's been a really cool outlet for me just to get to know a lot of other creative businesses and just to pour into small business owners in that way.
I love it. And since you've launched Creative at Heart, you have seen and had 6 different rounds of the conference. So from the first one to the one that's going to be happening in Memphis in November, how has just that conference grown in front of your eyes?
It's been a whirlwind. It has been crazy. I never thought that it would grow as quickly as it grew. But again, like there was a need for it, and there was a, you know, our audience was asking for it. So we continued to host them and we'll, you know, continue to host them into 2017. It's been really cool to see, even though the attendees change and our speaker lineup changes each time, the heart behind it has stayed the same. And that's what's been really important to me, because you just never know, you know, when you're bringing in 50 new attendees for every conference and, you know, a slew of different speakers and panelists, you don't know what could happen. And I've loved that it still had that like similar passion. And I joke that I can't really pick a favorite, because it's like picking a favorite child. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't say like, oh, this one is like, certain ones I liked the city maybe better just because of traveling. But then I'm like, oh, but I liked this speaker, but oh, I really like meeting this attendee. And so I love them all equally, which sounds terrible, but I just can't pick a favorite.
Well, it's true. Any business that you start is basically kind of like having a child, because it takes time, it takes effort, it takes a lot of sleepless nights. But at the end, you create something that you're super proud of and that you want to actually move forward with. So it makes sense.
Right. Totally agree.
I'm not super well versed at creative at heart. I've heard it a ton. I'm curious, because I know that your original idea started with wanting to give the safe space for wedding planners, but you wanted to invite all creatives. How has that grown since the beginning? Because I'm sure that in the beginning, you know, it's hard to market to a wide array of people. How have you been able to attract the different creatives?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's twofold. For one, my heart was selfishly for planners, because that's what I am. And so I obviously have like a little bit of a favorite child in terms of just like the wedding planners that attend, because I get them the most, you know, like we're the most like-minded in terms of the industries. But I felt like, at least in this area, I'm in Virginia, so in this like Virginia, Maryland, DC, like little tri-state area, there are a lot of photographers and they're very good at what they do. And there are a lot of photographers who are educating. So there's workshops, you know, just small, like in-home, like living room style workshops, to big conferences that are all specific to photography. So they're very good at sharing information and sharing information openly. And that was what I wanted planners to start doing. Same thing for stationery designers, because I had friends who were, you know, in the hand lettering or graphic design, like that field, that were saying the same thing. So I felt like, well, I can't just hop up and say, okay, planners, let's start doing it. I needed to show them, hey, look at what the photography community is doing. And they're doing it really well. And it is a safe space. So let's create an environment where it's safe for everyone. So that was like my heart of like, instead of just saying this is just going to be for planners, like I wanted it to be open so that we could all see from each other how we were sharing that information. It's also really great in terms of networking, you know, to be honest, because you're getting to network with a variety of industries and style shoots and collaborations, and all of these things can come from it because you're meeting an array of industries. The first conference was more photography heavy in terms of our speaker and panel lineup, because that was who I knew that were really educating openly. We since now have an application on our website, so people can go on and apply to be a speaker or a panelist, like if they would like to be a part of it. And so that's been great for me, especially for industries that I'm not as well versed in, to see like, okay, who else is out there? You know, who else would be interested in coming in? Let's bring in some business coaches and let's bring in a lawyer and, you know, let's just bring in a wide variety of people. And so that's been really, really cool. I joke with the teams. I have three girls who work with me for creative, just with the back end and the planning and all of that. And we joke every time we open registration, I'm always like stalking every attendee, because I'm like, are they a photographer? And I like secretly hope that they're not, just because I love photographers, but there's so many of them that I'm like, I want the other industries to, you know what I mean, like get into, and I want them to feel comfortable enough to come. So I think our first conference, we had over half of the attendees were photographers. And again, like we still had an incredible experience, but it was very photography heavy. And this last conference, our fifth one in Denver, we were literally split into thirds. So there was a third in the photography realm, and whether it was wedding or portrait or, you know, birth photography, there was a third in some other service base. So planning, floral, brand, like again, like providing a service. And then there was a third that were in the maker realm. So really delivering like a finished product versus, you know what I mean, like a service. And I was so ecstatic that we'd like kind of gotten to that point where I felt like, yay, we're a little bit all equal, you know, in just terms of those conversations and getting to network with each other. So it really comes down to like our speakers and panelists and bringing those people in, I think, because you want a familiar face. And like, for instance, if I'm attending a conference, I want to look at those speakers and recognize someone from my specific industry, because I feel more comfortable. And that's what I try to do in terms of our, you know, stationery designers and photographers and graphic designers and all of that, and just making everyone feel a little bit more comfortable in terms of, you know, who they recognize on the lineup.
I love that. I love that you stopped for a minute before you launched it and said, who's already doing this right? And who can, you know, be that leader in showing us how to do it too. I think that's fantastic. Gosh, now I'm totally jealous that Nicole. No, it sounds fabulous. And as somebody who came from the design side, and I pulled in a little bit more coaching and everything as I've gone along, but it was the hardest thing for me not to look at other designers as competition, but more in, okay, how are we different and how can we help each other? And I think that sounds so much what Creative at Heart is all about. I absolutely love that because we all have something different to offer. And even if we can't be the person for a client, if we know somebody else, it just adds that much more value where we can say, you know, I'm not the right fit, but maybe this person might be better, and sending them on their way. So fantastic. Love it.
Thank you so much.
So one of the things we always like to ask, and you brought this up in the beginning of the conversation, is when you first started this conference, that you saw that there was a lot of cutthroat people in the industry that really just didn't understand being educated or having community around them to help lift them up. Have you ever dealt with an instance where you either had negative self-talk, where you maybe had to talk yourself out of it in order to figure out your self-worth and figure out your value? Or has there been a time when there have been people that were outside influencers that made you kind of doubt what you were doing?
Yeah, both. I think that probably all of us have had both in some way, shape, or form. I talk about before I even launched Dear Sweetheart Event, I thought about launching a wedding planning business 2 years prior to that. And then I call it my cubicle era, like, of my life, because I was literally working in a cubicle and I did not like my full-time job. I have some friends that started a small business and while they love their small business, they love their full-time job. And that's incredible. I just was not one of them. Felt really drained in the full-time environment, just both in the work that I was doing and in the people I was surrounded with, and the fact that it wasn't something I loved to do. And so that was definitely a time in my life where I was allowing myself to make decisions based out of fear versus making decisions because I wanted to do something. And I was afraid to start a business because I didn't think that I could actually do it. I didn't think that anybody would, you know, want to listen to me, or, you know, I followed these women on Instagram. I followed blogs because at that point, like, really Instagram was just becoming big. Blogging was like, it's so incredibly huge in terms of like reading blogs on Facebook and things like that. So I had certain bloggers that I would literally just like devour. Like, I would just like binge read their blogs all the time and like absolutely looked up to these women and felt like there was no way I could ever compare. And the idea of like having a pink home office and doing podcasts like this, like, that was such a no way. That's not for me. I'm never going to make it, if that makes sense. And it's not saying that this means that you made it. It's just, that's where I was putting my self-worth. You know, it was, oh, those women are so cool. I want to be like them. And I didn't think I could do it. And it really took like learning how to punch fear in the face and just say like, actually, like, I'm going to try. And there have been certain things that I've done even since then that I've launched, or I've, you know, made an attempt at something and it's failed miserably, epically failed. And that's part of the journey. And that's what I kind of needed to remind myself was, you know, there's going to be times where I'm going to tell myself no, but I'm really just not allowing my dream to live. I'm not giving my dream the chance. I'm not trying. And I might try and it might fail, or I might try and it might turn into something different. And that's okay. But I at least have to attempt it. And that's what I've kind of had to like learn how to tell myself.
I love the positivity that you have, not just in the fear of leaving your full-time job that you were not a fan of to jumping into a small business, but everything that you've done since then and being honest about, there are things that I've done that have failed and there are things that I've done that have been really great, but at least I tried, and that's really what's going to make the difference. Has there ever been a time in the last couple of years that you've actually really maybe changed focus a little bit, or has it really been like everything that you've planned for Dear Sweetheart Events has kind of stayed true?
I never thought creative would be a thing. Like, when I started wedding planning, I never thought that I would then launch a conference. So that in of itself was like a brand new, oh, what is this going to look like? And then that changed the way that I view Dear Sweetheart Event. I initially launched thinking, well, I want to then only do luxury events, and I want to get to where I'm, you know, doing high end weddings. So I'm doing very few a year. You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of where I thought my business would be. And that's not it. That's not my heart for my business. My heart is a little bit more all-American, a little bit more like affordable and feasible for brides. And so I'm now working at building a team with Dear Sweetheart Events and like having various packages for different like budget brides. And, you know, I mean, just like shifting that around. And again, if you would ask me that 3 years ago, that's not where I would have told you I would have been right now. Same thing for the conference. I never thought we would have already done 6. We launched actually 2 Australia conferences, thinking we were going to go international, and then canceled them because we didn't get the ticket sales that we needed. We didn't have the audience over there that we thought we had. And that was hard, you know, to say, well, I launched it. Well, now it's failing, quote unquote. But is it really a failure? Because I'm learning so much through it, and I'm learning what my niche is in the conference world and what my audience really is. And that's right here in America, at least for right now, you know? And so all of those things, like, you make those decisions and you launch these things, you dream up these ideas, and then it's going to shift around as either you start to do it and you realize, maybe this doesn't fit my brand the way that I thought it was, or maybe this isn't my strength, or maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to do. And again, that's like the beauty of it. And it's terrifying and so scary, like, when you're in it, but I feel like you have to try. I feel like you owe it to yourself to at least try.
The fact that you're not afraid to, like, shift and, like, do things that might necessarily be scary because you don't necessarily know the outcome of it is amazing. And didn't you guys just launch a little mini conference that's going to be happening in October as well?
We did. Yes. So we're doing a 1-day event, and it's October 9th in Lexington, Virginia. So we started here in Virginia. Our first 2 conferences were right here, and we haven't been back to Virginia since those first 2. So since March of last year. So we thought, well, you know, we have a lot of alumni that are in this area, and we want to do something small that maybe if you're in a surrounding state, you can drive over for the afternoon, that sort of thing. And again, like, trying to also think of things that are affordable, creative. Like, my heart is for business owners and their first 3 years of business, because I think that that's when we really are building those stepping stones for our business. And that's when community is vital to then continue to make it past those first 3 years. Because those, not saying that years 5, 6, 7, 8, like, they're not hard, but I think your first 3 years are hard in and of themselves. And that's, like, the heart that I have for wanting to focus on. So trying to think of ways that we can offer affordable education, like in-person education. And that was where these 1-day events, we're like, let's try it. Let's see what happens in October. And so we're doing it and we're going to see what happens.
One of the things that we love to also ask, because you've seen success, you haven't been afraid to kind of shift or focus or do things your own way and kind of stay true to who you are, what are some of the values that you've brought into your business in the last 3 years?
That's a great question. I think that I've always wanted to stay true to who I am. My business is a jerk, both of them, whether it's, you know, Dear Sweetheart Events or Creative at Heart, I feel like they're brands that are very reflective of my heart, or at least I want them to be. It's in terms of not only, like, what they look like in terms of, I love pink and I like, you know, like, that side of things. So they are feminine, they're girly, like that part of it, like the look, but also, like, what they represent in the mission statement. I love the Lord. I would not be here if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus saved me. And that is a part of my brand. It's a part of why I want to be open to community with other women, why I want to share information, why I want to be an open book in terms of business, because of that love that, like, he's shown me, and I want to get that back. So I like to hope and think that, you know, that's a value that has stayed true, you know, in the last 3 years and only grown so much more since then, and finding other like-minded women, you know, in the industry that also have a relationship with Jesus. That's important to me, and I love that. I think in terms of just wanting to be genuine and wanting to be open, and again, like, share, like, hey, I launched a conference in Australia and then I had to cancel it and I cried a lot and that was really hard. And you know what I mean? Like, being transparent and being genuine and real about those things. I'm tired of business owners feeling like we just have to stay up late at night Googling and figuring things out when, while yes, we absolutely, you know, there's going to be certain things where I was actually just Googling things earlier today because I'm launching Facebook ads and I'm like, what is Facebook ads and what do I do when I'm, like, Googling? So there's absolutely times when we're going to do that, but there's also times when I want to be able to pick up the phone and call a friend and get her advice on, hey, I know that you just did this. What did this look like for you? Did it work? Should I do it? And have, again, those, like, open and honest conversations. And so trying to be really genuine throughout both businesses has also been really important to me too.
I love the genuine aspect, because that's definitely a movement that's starting to happen within the realm of small business owners, because they're moving away from feeling like they always have to be perfect to a place where they can actually be open and honest about what they're actually doing in their daily lives and the struggles and everything else that they're going through without fear of not reaching their ideal client or fear that someone's going to turn away from them because of it. Because truly, when it comes to community over competition, there's no judgment, and you understand you might not be able to help everyone else, but that doesn't mean that you can't help someone find the right person for them.
Absolutely. And I think that there, and this is something, so I'm close with Natalie, Krista, and Davey, like the founders of Rising Tide and of the Community Over Competition movement. They speak at Creative at Heart. They've spoken, Natalie was actually the first person I told about my dream for Creative at Heart. So they are such dear friends, like the three of them. And Davey and I have had this conversation before about the fact that there's a healthy level of competition that's necessary for any business owner. And it's that level of, oh my gosh, look at what she's doing. Ah, I want to, like, they almost like light a fire under your butt, if that makes sense, like for lack of a better term. And like, I have business women that I'm close with and I love seeing them kill it on Instagram or seeing them launch a course or seeing them host a free webinar because it does inspire me. Like, well, what can I be giving back to my community? Or, oh my gosh, look at that wedding she just did. Like, that is perfect for her. I'm so excited to share what I just did, like, and have that healthy level. And there's always going to be that comparison game. We're all, like, without a doubt going to struggle with it regardless of, you know, how much we try not to, because we're human and it's easy for us to do that, you know, the scroll and just look at what everything else is doing and look at how supposedly awesome their life is. But that's also the beauty of Insta stories, right? And now being able to show, like, actually, here's a no makeup selfie of me when I first wake up in the morning and I'm telling you about what I'm about to do today. Like, that is, I love that aspect of Instagram now because I think that's the real behind it. And there's a way for us to have that healthy dose of competition without it getting into that, like, ugly side of things.
I love that. And I think that I love how you say the healthy aspect of competition.
Yeah.
Because it's not so much, there is that two-sided bit to it. It's about not being jealous of the other people or envious of what they have, but being excited for them and having that motivate and inspire you to go and find your success or to finish that project that you've been stalling on, or, you know, reach out and talk to people. And I love that because that is what the competition is there for. It's to help keep pushing us to that next level, because if it wasn't, we'd just sit and be happy in whatever level we're at. So I love that you said it that way, because that, like, I went through I'm going through a marketing beta course right now with one of my business besties. And that was one of the things that she said. She said, okay, we're going to talk about competition. And I know everybody's all about community over competition, but there's competition and you have to identify who they are, what they're doing, and how you then stand out from them, because you've got to be able to position yourself and whatever. She's like, we're not talking about jealousy.
Right.
We're talking about, you know, who's out there in the market with you.
Right. We have to, like, we are business owners and sometimes we forget that, but this isn't a hobby. You're making a living, and either you're trying to go full-time with it or you are full-time, and it's literally putting food on the table. And so you have to be strategic, but you can be genuine while being strategic, but you still need to be strategic in those decisions that you make. My friend, Mary Morantz, she and her husband are a husband and wife photography team. And she shared a quote from Taylor Swift, like, months and months ago, and was basically talking about how Taylor had said something about, I want to go stand near the fire, and how, well, as business owners, if you see someone on fire, like, don't you want some of that warmth? Like, why would you run in the opposite direction? You're going to be cold, like, in the corner, like, getting frostbite. Like, you want to go stand near the fire because that's going to, like, you're going to get some of that. And I love that analogy because that's what I want to do. Like, if I see a friend that's killing it, I want to stand beside her and encourage her and hope that her confidence is going to wear off on me. And when I'm feeling low about something, I'm going to remember what she just did, and it's going to inspire me to do better.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. It's funny you bring Taylor Swift, because one of my favorite ones is, or something that I always keep thinking about when I'm building my business, is a Garth Brooks song called Standing Outside the Fire. And it talks about, yes, life isn't lived unless you're inside that fire. Yes. Like, in the fire, people, stop standing outside.
There's so much good, like, truth in country music lyrics. People just don't give country music enough credit. Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I'm a Southern California girl, but a country girl.
Oh, good. Right. I love it.
And I am a Long Island, New York girl living in the heart of Nashville right now. And me and my husband actually had a country music song as our wedding song. And our families were like, who are you and what have you done?
That's so funny.
So actually, speaking of, like, celebrities and people who are big influencers, who have been your biggest influencers in your business?
Oh, that is such a good question. How do I, like, narrow it down? Mary Morantz, who I just talked about a minute ago, her and her husband, Justin, have been really big influencers, I feel like, for my business, even just for Matt and I, just, like, really encouraging. They're incredibly servant-hearted. And I think to see someone who's so successful in their business truly be so humble and so servant-hearted about it is really impactful. They've literally been a husband and wife team for 10 years without any other, like they didn't work a full-time job. You know what I mean? Like they have been in the photography industry for 10 years. And I'm like, how did you do it? And I love it. And I like look up to them a lot. I think that, so definitely them. Who else? I love Caitlin James. She's another photographer. She was actually my husband and I's photographer. And her husband, Michael, the same way. They've just really poured into us. We actually did a coaching session with them last year, like a couples coaching session. Matt is not full time with me. And we don't know if that's even something that's going to be on our radar, but it was really, really cool for us to sit down with a husband and wife team. And just for Matt to kind of get to ask questions and be like, my wife's not crazy, right? Like these are the like branding and client experience and final shoot and like what? And so it's actually something I recommend to other business owners if they're not necessarily struggling with getting their husband on board, but they're just feeling frustrated with this conversation because we live in this creative bubble and you know, that's all we see and we're consumed in it and they're not at all. And so I compare it to like, he's consumed with like football and Redskins and he knows like all the facts and all the things and fantasy. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, I have no idea. It's the same way for him in the creative world. And so it was really, really cool for us to sit down with him and have like an awesome conversation and him to get to talk to another husband about it and for me to have her there. So I really looked up to them for that and, you know, the impact that they're making on the creative world. So yeah, those would be probably the two biggest influencers for me.
I'm like dying over here because I have one of the most supportive and loving, amazing husbands who is like, go live your dreams, go do it. Like the times when I've been down and thought about going back into a 9-to-5, he's like, no, you've got this, keep going kind of thing. But yesterday when I was, you know, spreading stuff all over our dining room table, getting back from the conference and, you know, had all these ideas I needed to get out of my head. And then I decided this would be a great Instagram picture. And I stood on a chair to take the picture. He looked at me and said, what are you doing? When I said, I'm taking a picture. He's like, of our dining room table. Like, I don't get this. And he just like shook his head and like, just, okay, whatever. And I said, just nod and say, okay, dear. And I was like, eat that. That escapes him.
That is so funny.
I love that advice though, because for new business owners who are just starting out, whose significant other or partner or husband or wife that doesn't understand exactly what they do, but they just want their significant other to be happy, it's a great perspective to be able to sit down with another couple who's been through it already to really allow them to understand a little bit more about what exactly you're doing. Because you can, you know, tell your husband, tell your significant other all day, every day, exactly what you're doing. And sometimes they still just don't get it. So I think that that's going to be a great takeaway for people who maybe are frustrated with, you know, how people are supporting them in their everyday life and not really understanding how they do things or why they do things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we have to give them like a little bit of slack, you know, like this isn't their baby and they're going to support us and, you know, in every way they know how, but it isn't their baby.
Yeah.
Even my friends who like my mom or my friends from college who, again, like they're not in the industry. They really don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, Pat, like, what are you doing on Instagram today? Or, you know, what? Like, I don't know how many times I've had to explain what a style shoot is. Like, I literally until I'm blown away. And it's just because they're not doing it. And again, we're immersed in it. It's all over our Facebook feed, all over our Instagram feed, because that's who we follow and we're all about it. But their Facebook and their Instagram don't look like that. And so that's actually been really cool just in terms of marketing. I'll ask my best friend, be like, hey, can I see your feed? Because I want to know, like, well, who else are you following as someone who isn't immersed in the industry, if it's a potential bride or, you know, something like that. And what do I need to do to get those people to come over into my world?
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. And it's definitely something that if you're so head down in your business, you need to take that look up and like be able to get an outside perspective so that you can move forward in a way that not only betters your business, but betters the experience for the clients you're trying to attract.
Absolutely.
So one of the things we do like to ask also, because a lot of the people who are listening are people who are just starting out or people trying to get back to the heart of their business, what would be the one piece of advice that you would give to entrepreneurs?
I saw this question on your list and I was like, oh boy, well, this is a big one. And I feel like I need to say something like really eloquent and you know what I mean? I don't know, like something that you're going to like quotable. We're going to like put it on Pinterest. But honestly, it really is just to trust your gut. I think that no matter what I've done in my business, if I've had a good gut feeling about it or a bad gut feeling about it, it's come back to me in the end, if that makes sense. So whether it's working with a client, if you know like, oh, something just feels off, even if you can't say like why or what, if your gut is giving you that feeling, run away. Like just trust your gut and listen to it.
I love that. That is my favorite piece of advice.
Well, good.
You know, when people ask me for advice, I'm like, okay, here's 1, 2, 3. And above all else, trust your gut.
Yeah. But it's so, what you're saying is true though. Like if your gut's telling you this is going to be bad or if it's going to tell you if it's going to be good, if you go against that, it always comes back to bite you. Like no matter what, whether in business or personal life, like it'll always come back to bite you. And then you'll go back to that moment when you had that feeling and it'll be a light bulb of, oh, I actually should have listened to it.
Right. And sometimes we need, I know for me, I needed the bad to understand like, oh, I really should have trusted my gut. You know what I mean? Like I needed, honestly, like the bridezilla. I needed the bride that was a very terrible experience for me to walk through and plan with and, you know, venting to Matt and crying and, you know, feeling so frustrated as a business owner to realize, you know what? I started this business because I loved it. That means I want to love every single bride and I do need to have an ideal client and I need to be able to say no and say yes and have a choice in the matter. But I personally needed the bad experience to realize, oh, my gut really is right in this and now I need to listen to it. And some people are like that and others I know have never needed the bad. They just trust it automatically. And I'm like, well, more power to you. I just learned the hard way, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, but we all have our own journeys that we're going on. And when it comes to really, truly trusting your gut and your instincts and your intuition, it's like a muscle. You actually have to work it in order to figure out how it's going to work best for you. So the good and the bad, regardless of, you know, how you dictate how it's going to affect you, it needs to happen for you because it's your journey and you're going to figure out how to make the good happen more so than the bad as you continue to flex that muscle.
I love that. I love thinking about it as a muscle that needs work.
Yeah. I went to a boot camp yesterday, so I'm really thinking about how muscles really work right now because I'm so sore. all right. So to wrap things up, because we've had so much fun talking with you today, we always like to end with a fun closing question. If you were on an island, what are the 3 things that you would bring and why?
Okay, so I would bring my dog, Knox, because he would have so much fun on the island. I would bring my iPad. It has my Kindle app on it because I have to sit on the island and read all of my sappy, terrible romance novels. And then I feel like bringing my husband is something that like I need to say. Like, of course, I want my husband to be here. So I would probably bring my husband if like he was with me and like we were like the same person and I got to pick another thing, I would have to have like some sort of unlimited supply of ice tries when I'm on the island because it's going to be hot and I need my ice tries all the time. So hopefully like a Starbucks that only serves me ice chai lattes.
Or like a Starbucks server that just automatically shows up every like 2 hours.
A barista that just knows like Kat needs a new venti. Like we've got it covered. That would be awesome. Like literally my dream.
Oh, I love those. Well, and also you have the iPad too. So even if you didn't bring your husband, you can FaceTime still.
There we go. Perfect. Because there's absolutely cell phone service on the like deserted island.
All islands have Wi-Fi.
I'm right.
Put that out there right now. In our island, in our fantasies, all islands. All right. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. We had so much fun. For everyone listening, you guys can go to the beautifullyboldpodcast.com website to learn more about the show notes, resources, and all the other fun things that we've talked about today. And to continue the conversation on, you guys can join us in the Beautifully Bold in Business Facebook group. We will catch you guys next week. Thank you so much.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the 2 beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.